You can never be sure just where you're going, and memory is a fleeting thing. But you can always know exactly where you are. Shady Pines Radio. You've always been invited, and now you're here.
Welcome to the fun show.
I'm Kelly Creek.
I'm Jessica Mullen.
And this is your hour of fun. Are you ready to have so much fun and not say anything about the cats?
Yeah, totally.
And stay facing the microphone?
Totally. I'm not going to look back. I won't turn around and turn to salt.
Okay, let's get right into it because I have a bunch I need to tell you. And there was a topic from last week that I wanted to tell you about that I never got to. And now it's getting stale, so I really need to tell you about it.
Let's hear it, babe.
So there's this technique in one of Neville Goddard's books, Freedom for All. It's called self-impregnation, basically. Let's call it that. And the symbolism he's using is from the Annunciation, which is when an angel visited Mary, telling her that she was going to basically conceive a child without father. So the idea of this particular technique is you imagine telling a friend that you achieved what it is that you want. And you picture the friend congratulating you, and, you know, it's less about the friend's response, but more like just picturing yourself telling that and then the friend congratulating you on a job well done.
Cool.
So, like I said, I've been working with this for like a couple weeks now. And so I started working with it before the Black Friday sales and all that. And I pictured telling our friend on our weekly Saturday Zoom meeting that we had the best Black Friday ever, that we got a bunch of sales, and that we did really well on this new wholesale site we're using called Faire. If anyone wants to check us out on there, FAIRE.com. And telling him that we had done really well on Faire. And like I said, it's seeming kind of stale now because this happened like a week ago, but it worked. Like, we got a bunch of sales on Faire, more than I expected, and we did a bunch of sales from our Black Friday sale, and we had like the most ever packages that we took to the post office. And I had just pictured telling him that we had done the best Black Friday sale ever, which, you know, eventually on Saturday we did tell him about our success, and like his response wasn't necessarily what it was in my imagination, but it didn't have anything to do with his response. Like, I wasn't manifesting his response. I didn't care at all what he actually thought. He was just a vehicle for the self-impregnation. I just want to read this little passage from Freedom for All for Neville Goddard.
Let's hear it.
From the chapter called Annunciation. And if you want to understand more about the symbolism and stuff, I recommend checking it out. It's only like a 2-page chapter. So passage from the Annunciation chapter in Freedom for All by Neville Goddard. The use of an angel or friend's voice to make a conscious impression is the shortest, safest, and surest way to be self-impregnated. With your desire properly defined, you assume an attitude of listening. Imagine you are hearing the voice of a friend, then make him tell you, imagine he is telling you, how lucky and fortunate you are to have fully realized your desire. In this receptive attitude of mind, you are receiving the message of an angel. You are receiving the impression that you are and have that which you desire to be and have. The emotional thrill of having heard that which you desire to hear is the moment of conception. It is the moment you become self-impregnated, the moment you actually feel you are now that or have that which heretofore you but desired to be or possess. As you emerge from this subjective experience, you, like Mary of the story, will know by your changed attitude of mind that you have conceived a son, that you have fixed a definite subjective state and will in a little while express or objectify this state.
Love it.
Yeah.
That goes along with how we would say to each other, I prepaved this, or like when we're prepaving something, or in my, like when I'm prepaving something, or it's more like practicing the feeling. Like if I'm visualizing a success, I picture myself saying, I practice this feeling.
Right. Or to you. Always, like when there's something you don't want to do, I always picture you saying you were right, so that I don't get discouraged by you not wanting to do it, because I know in the end you're going to tell me I was right, and that always works.
Love that. What do I not want to do?
I don't know, like, it'll be shit like go for a walk, or go take care of this, or anything, like, go to a social engagement.
What kind of social engagement are we going to?
I'm talking about in the past examples of times that has worked.
No, that works too. I use it on you all the time. When you don't want to do stuff.
So anyway, I just wanted to tell you about that technique because it really worked.
Do you think it worked? Do you think the person that you tell it matters?
No.
So would it also work if I told my parents in my head?
Probably not, because there's a whole other, like, vibration that's going to be interrupted by that. You wanting your parents' praise.
Right. So it has to be someone who's, like, pretty neutral, or who you have, like, pretty
a
much
friend.
Only.
Like, would you consider your parents a friend?
They're my parents.
Exactly.
They're not my friends.
Exactly.
Cool. I love that. I love it. Thanks for telling me.
Yeah, it worked really well, so I recommend it.
Impregnating yourself by telling a friend. Would that be the one sentence? Because
yeah, I mean, there's more to it with the symbolism. Like, the angel represents something. The Mary represents, you know, like, the sun is your conception, which you now believe is going to come to fruition without any input from you.
Right.
So that's why it's the sun. It's the child of God. The desire is the child of God, which is born from you, mm-hmm. but without your having to create it.
Right. Does he ever say daughter? That you're going to have a daughter? Or it's like,
well,
supposed to be Jesus.
Jesus wasn't a woman that I know of.
Okay, so that's the whole metaphor, is that it's Jesus.
Yeah.
When you...
Because the angel came and told Mary that she would be, so then she was prepared.
Right.
To, I can read the other part that explains.
You don't have to read it. I just have one last question. Is Mary is the friend you're telling, and you are the angel?
No.
Vice versa?
You're Mary.
Okay. Cool. I love it.
The angel is the friend.
That's really nice to hear as a someone else's technique, since we always, before reading this, we would say, I practice this feeling.
Right.
And that's like the visualization, like picturing the end of it, just telling someone that
right.
it happened.
Right.
That there's no messing in the how did you get there.
Right. And then it's like you impregnated the subconscious because you made it real.
Right.
Oh, that's just going to be our echo going on. What is she saying?
I think she's telling us to take out the garbage, but there's nowhere to put it because there's snow covering all surfaces.
Feet of snow. Okay, well, if you don't mind, I kind of want to read this other passage.
Is it long?
Kind of.
Okay.
I don't have to. It's fine. They can read it. They can check out Neville Goddard.
Yeah.
I recommend further reading. Your reading assignment for this week, listeners.
You can go on, well, I was going to say Amazon, but I guess you're not supposed to really plug Amazon.
It's
but.
Public domain. Do you think it matters that you keep turning away from the mic?
Not really. Do you?
Yeah.
Thought about it. I'm trying to read the title of this book. It's called The Neville Collection.
Well, the reason why there's so many collections is because it's public domain. So many different people have taken all of his books and printed them.
Do you think it matters that you're sitting so far away from them?
Only that you're sitting further away from the mic.
I think if I got a measuring tape, I would only be 2 feet and you'd be 3 feet.
Well, did you bring any topics?
I decided to wing it, and of course I brought topics. Okay, first topic I got. Our candle manifestation.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I love telling y'all about our manifestations because they're so magical, and I love to take note of, like, how it came to be and what technique I was using, what mood I was in when it happened.
A vibrational bookmark?
You could call it that. Okay, so this was Sunday, and I took a bath, and we've been wanting to order some candles for a while, but we didn't know what to get, and I wanted to get scented candles, but it's hard to pick a scented candle online. But I was taking a bath using one of our last remaining tea lights for my romantic lighting, and I was over it. I needed a scented candle in the bath, or at least something that looked nicer than a tiny little tea light that's for warming tea. And so I went on my phone, picked out a candle, bought it, put my phone down, finished my bath, and then ran the shower. And while I was showering, the doorbell rang. And it's Sunday, so we're not really expecting any packages. But an Amazon truck pulled away, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, Amazon.
Kelly looked out and saw it was an Amazon truck pulling away. And I really didn't remember ordering anything. But I said, oh, it's the candle that's already here. That I just ordered 5 minutes ago. And I was in the shower before the doorbell rang. I was just counting because I've been really on my focus game, really trying to stay focused all the time. And so I just joked that the candle had gotten there. And Kelly went out and got the package when I was in the shower. And she came back in and she said, oh, it's a gift. And I just knew it was a candle. And she opened it and it was a candle. It was the exact candle that I had almost bought. I had changed my mind at the last minute. But she opened it up and it was a holiday gift from a family member. A candle. Like, I just was... I mean, I bought one 5 minutes ago because I needed this candle. So I guess buying it was kind of my letting go of the desire.
Right.
And it was so magical that that candle came. And it turned out that this family member had looked on our Amazon wish list, and that's how she found it. But
Jessica didn't remember putting it on there.
I still don't remember. And I guess Amazon took it off the wish list once it was purchased, so I have no idea if it
was. But then started showing you ads for it.
Yeah, and then Amazon shows us, after we get this gift, they show us ads for the exact same product, listing the price and everything.
So tacky, Amazon.
Very tacky. So that was really cool that it was like I had the strongest desire and zero resistance because it's such a small cost, but my desire for this object was like, I was going to get that candle.
And you even said it was your candle.
Yeah, I had said it's candles here.
Like, would it have even been the candle if you hadn't said it was a candle? It could have been something else.
Right? It could have been. It could have been another weird thing on my wish list, like some supplement or some hydration tablets.
You gotta clean that thing up.
I keep cleaning it, but I want all these things, like my Periscope.
How much is that Periscope?
Like $20. I can't believe she didn't pick out the Periscope for us. That was just so cool, and I had to tell you because I was using silent counting, but also I think the most important part of that so-called manifestation is having the strong desire with zero resistance.
Like, right.
I knew it was coming.
Right. It was already on the way.
And I was able to cancel my Amazon order real quick, so I didn't even have to get the second candle.
Such a perfect example of the feeling preceding the experience. Like you said, like you right then had the feeling that it was on the way.
Yeah, yeah. So I wonder if we could use that, like, just start ordering stuff and canceling the order. You should see how hard her eyes just roll.
Sounds like an old vibrational...
Just forget to cancel.
Just start ordering plane tickets.
No one's flying anywhere.
There's a lot of people who are.
Order a car from CarMax.
No. Get a rental and never return it.
Yeah, that does work.
Oh, well, that's a great topic you brought to the table. Thanks.
Thanks. I've got more if you're ready. You ready for another
I have another one.
Let's hear it.
So I wanted to
it's
talk
like
about...
It's like we're unwrapping presents for
yes.
each other.
Yes. So I wanted to talk about something from our Beyond Manifestation Journal, which I often mean to talk about, but... I guess I just forget about it, but I've been meaning to talk a lot about how these exercises have helped me.
Let's go back to the beginning, which is Kelly's never done in one of our journals before.
That's not true. I finished an MMM once.
But this is the first journal we've made that she has done every day in a row. Like, you started it and you're keeping up with it.
Yes, I really... Also, I think it's a mindset. Like, I just decided that I wanted to, and then I did.
Yeah.
But also it was like, well, this shit works, like, and I want to.
Plus it's our most beautiful one, so it's a
it
lot
is.
Easier on the eyes.
It is. It feels good to hold, too.
Right.
So I was even thinking, like, in order to, because, like I said, like, I've intended to talk about how the exercises have helped me in my everyday life. And I thought it'd be cool if we even had a segment on here, like, every week we could talk about one exercise that helped us.
Let's start the segment this week, because it's already working for me.
Okay. Well, I wanted to mention, in particular, today I did the listening exercise, which is where you meditate and you listen to something in the room. And, or, you know, you find a noise to focus on. So, like, the whole chapter is from chapter 3, which is the focus chapter, and it's all different focusing techniques. So one of them is silent counting, one of them is chanting, one of them is breathing, and this one is listening. So you're putting all your focus on a noise rather than, like, something in your head or your breath. And... when I was filling it out this morning, like, I was so tired. Like, I've been so tired ever since the snowstorm, and I had to shovel snow 2 days in a row, and also we had to walk to the post office with heavy-ass packages and walking through the snow, and it was all just a lot.
And walk to the grocery store in the snow.
Yeah, and it was fun or whatever, but it's just, like, I felt so drained, especially yesterday and today when I woke up.
Little extra fitness that was
hot. And I just couldn't feel energized, and I was feeling irritated about it because we had some stuff we wanted to get done today, this fun show being one of them, and I wanted to have energy for it. So anyway, I'm doing this exercise and I'm listening to the humidifiers going, which to me is such a pleasant noise. Like, it's a really easy noise to just drop into.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I only did it for, like, a short period of time, and I felt better so fast from doing it.
Really?
And this is the same experience I've had when I've practiced this technique in the past when we were writing the book. It's the same exact sensation. It's like when I put all of my focus on the sound, it's like the sound is a vacuum that, like, vacuums out all of the thoughts, all of the resistance. And it's, like, just from doing that and allowing my existence to be vacuumed out, I felt so much more energy and, like, not so drained.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really amazing. Like, it didn't even take long. It definitely wasn't 15 minutes.
What was I doing?
I don't know.
We weren't, like, officially meditating, were we?
No.
Okay. Just wondering. Just curious. Seems so long ago.
This morning.
Yeah.
The days fly by, but they seem... breakfast always seems so far away.
I know. Breakfast is our favorite part of the day every day. That is so cool because I know the exact feeling that you're talking about, and that reminds me that I would love to, well, the humidifiers are a perfect sound, but I want to have something that I can play on my phone or something. Like, we sleep with a sound machine app, and that always puts me right to sleep. Like, that is so connected to sleeping that it, it just works so well to focus on that. And when we were writing the Beyond Manifestation, I was listening to the furnace, and it was like, it was definitely like a peak experience meditating, because it put my awareness like in the grate where the air was coming out, and I could tell that I was having other thoughts, but it was like the sound just brushed them away.
Right.
I never didn't get distracted at all. It was so easy to listen to the sound and stay focused on it.
The sound is so powerful, like you said. Like vacuuming or brushing away, like,
yeah. So I would love to find a sound that we both liked that I could play during meditation, like if we didn't have the humidifiers going.
Well, we're gonna have the humidifiers for a few months.
You're right. It's gonna be about 6 more months. So,
and then when we open the windows, we can listen to the neighbors' wind chimes.
Okay, you're right. Okay, well, I can't wait to meditate today. I can't wait to listen.
Yes, and then it got me thinking of just about listening. And then, like, one of the prompts is like, "What did you listen to, and what did you hear?" And then it got me thinking a lot about just listening to myself, listening to my body, listening to the clues from the universe, listening to what I'm being told from my life experience,
right.
You know, paying attention.
Right.
And then, like, I was thinking about this when we were working out, about, like, listening and how it could mean more than just you're listening to a sound while you're meditating. Just, like, thinking about everything about listening, what it means, and remembering to listen. Then, right on the video, someone said, listen.
Whoa. Oh, I love that. Yeah, it's really, I mean, that's probably something that would really help me to focus on listening as my focus practice, because I have a very hard time paying attention to what is being spoken, words that are spoken.
Uh-huh.
It's not like it's not a disability, it's a choice, but it's just like a...
It's not a flaw, it's a feature.
It is very easy for me to zone out, yes, and ignore noise, but like it... When people read out loud to me, it's extremely difficult for me to comprehend or stay following.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm constantly thinking about something that's being said, or, you know, like, it's just, it's something I could really use a lot of practice in. And I also wanted to say that when you're listening, you're in what Abraham Hicks would say is receiving mode.
Mm-hmm.
And so that puts you into, like, the mode of being open to manifestations, or like getting what you want, because when you're listening, you're like alert for cues that you wouldn't otherwise be paying attention to. Like,
right.
When the universe is trying to offer you gifts, but mm-hmm. if you're lost in thought or whatever, talking, mm-hmm. you're not going to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or just like when something happens, like I'm listening, you know, instead of like trying to shut it out.
Right.
Like, okay, I hear you.
That brings up something that I've been thinking about a lot the past few days, which is this tension between wanting to control and plan and, like, be on top of things. Like, for this workshop that we're going to do on Saturday, I keep having this tension between I want to plan out every word and, mm-hmm. like, really know what I'm going to say versus trusting that the right words will be pulled through me at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I know that it's entirely possible for the right words to come to me without preparation. But, I mean, I still want to prepare. It still really is helpful. But only when I'm actually listening can I hear the words that I'm supposed to say.
When you're listening to me, when I talk to you?
Well, for an example, like when we're talking back and forth, if it's like the difference between waiting for you to finish talking so I can say what I want to say versus listening to what you're saying and then going from there.
You mean like in the workshop?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like that brings me to this other topic, which is last night we did a practice run of our workshop that we're having on Saturday with our friend on Zoom, and I was so flustered at the beginning and just not very prepared. That's why we were doing the practice, to see exactly how unprepared we were.
We were a lot more prepared than, anyway.
Than what?
Than a little bit.
No, we were, but still, like, we weren't ready for how long everything was going to take.
Uh-huh.
But I got really flustered and really self-conscious. I think that's what it is. It's like when I'm actually listening, I'm not self-conscious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking about what you're thinking about me, mm-hmm. or how I'll be perceived mm-hmm. from what I'm saying. But so as we're in this practice workshop and I'm stumbling over my words, I finally had this moment where I had to stop watching him on the screen for his reaction and start looking just at the camera hole as I was talking. And it reminded me, like, this is what I do when I record my meditations. I just look at the camera hole and I don't think about what anyone's thinking about me. And the words are always right there. So trying to integrate that ability into, like, speaking more about more academically
mm-hmm,
than just
mm-hmm.
meditatively.
Right.
But so what came to me, I like, had to force myself to pull it together. But the second I started looking just at the little camera hole, I thought, I'm good at this.
Mm-hmm.
And that became my mental code.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a powerful mental code to just be like, oh yeah, I'm good at this. And it made me realize I can apply that to anything that I'm doing at any time. And it brought up all of these memories from childhood or my whole life about the times when I was having fun, like as a kid. I could kind of hear that thought in the back of my mind, like, oh, I'm good at this.
Huh.
This is fun. I'm good at this. And things like crafts or gymnastics or video games.
Uh-huh.
And it was never like a conscious thought, really, but it was it makes the same feeling.
Right.
That when I was actually having fun as a kid, the words that go with the feeling are, I'm good at this.
Right.
Yes, I'm good at this.
Right.
So as a mental code throughout doing anything, it's really helpful.
Right. And it is true. It's helpful to remember, like, we are good at it.
Yeah.
I was a little rusty too, but then I was, as soon as, like you said, like, I focused, and then I was like, I've done this so many times. Like, I know how to talk about my work. Like, there's, I don't.
Literally, we wrote the book. So, yeah, once I realized, like, oh, I do know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something
right.
we made.
Right.
So this isn't hard. I'm just too high. But part of it, looking at the camera hole, is like a singular visual focus that
mm-hmm.
instead of like glancing all around the computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to try to do that when we're doing it live, to just look at one spot while I talk.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And not try to like gauge, like edit what I say based on other people's body
right.
language.
Right. Not.
Which
Never
is
a good idea.
Well, it's fine in conversation if you're like trying to have a heart to heart,
right.
but when I'm trying to speak clearly without distraction about
right.
something I'm the authority on, I don't
right.
need to worry about someone else's body language.
Right. Even in a physical workshop, like when you can tell that people are like resisting the information that you're presenting, like that's never, like, you don't want to focus on that, because then you'll just be thinking like, oh, they think I'm bullshit or whatever.
And that's when you will say, but whatever. Our favorite phrase in this pretend workshop is, but whatever.
Whatever.
That's what it is. It's like feeling like if someone's losing interest, that's when I'll be like, but whatever. You know, like, okay, you're not interested, we can move on.
Right. Anyway, okay, whatever, let's go to break.
Whatever. Whatever.
Tune in to The Pet Door Show with Hannah Wertmüller every Thursday, 2 to 4 p.m. on Shady Pines Radio for the best new independent music from around the world.
Welcome back to the fun show.
You ready to have some more fun?
Let's have some more fun. I am having fun.
Me too.
Sometimes at the beginning of the fun show, I feel like we get annoyed with each other. Why is that?
Speak for yourself.
I think that I just end up like I'm so tired of having things to do. So tired of policing cats. No.
That part does get really irritating.
I get so tired of like, oh, I have to do this, and then I have to do this, and I must project a little bit onto you, like, as if you're the person making me do the fun show. And when all I want to do is read my book.
Yeah, that's actually a good point that you bring up, because I've been thinking, well, you know, we have this workshop, and of course, anytime there's something that we have to do that we've said we're going to do, and we want to do it, you know, like, there's our echo.
Get the laundry.
Again, we see these to-dos, but anyway, I was realizing, like, you know, am I supposed to talk over her?
The mic can't hear it.
Okay. So now I lost my train of thought.
This workshop. We have to do this workshop.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so I've been working on my imagination and really trying to figure out what my pinnacle of success is instead of defaulting to this, like, you know, kind of mainstream, kind of normie, like, brainwashed, like, pinnacle of success that involves, like, what my house looks like, and if I have a van or not, you know, like, just to me, like, stuff that I know really doesn't matter to me, like, having a van or not, I don't care, like, I'd practically rather not have one. Where I live, I've lived all types of places, and it never was gonna solve my life. I've lived in shitty places, I've lived in nice places, I've been way happier in shitty places than I have in some of the nicest places I've lived. So I know that that's not my pinnacle, and I was thinking today about how one thing that I would really love for myself is to want to do the things that I have to do.
Yes, I totally agree.
Like, I'm tired of feeling like, oh, I gotta do this, oh, I gotta do that, which is like, you know, at some point I do, you know, on some level I do want to do this shit. I want, you know, once again, we hear this about the working out. Or going to the store, or literally anything. I don't want to do it. I want to sit in bed and read my book. And as soon as all I have to do is read my book, I won't want to do that either.
And you want to go do stuff.
Or chores, you know, or like anything besides what I thought I wanted to do. But more focusing on the workshop, like, I really want to know, I think more than ever that I am getting to that place just from life experience, knowing that it's a waste of energy to dread this. I'm not going to sit around and think, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this because I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And I want to do it. I do want to do it. Lots of me does want
to
do it.
Right. We say no to the things we really don't want to do. But
right.
And specifically with, like, workshops or saying yes to any kind of, like, engagement over Zoom, it's, like, a challenge out of my comfort zone, and that's part of why I say yes, because I need challenge to, you know, like, have new desires,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And to have, like, a reason to focus. But this was my other topic that I was just thinking about this morning. Okay, so this morning we had to do our body pump class, and normally we'll eat breakfast and then work for a little bit and then do the class. But sometimes work takes too long, and then we have to eat lunch and then we'll do the class. So today I really wanted to work out before lunch, but it's like a delicate balance to do it before I get too hungry.
And also wait long enough so that your breakfast is digested. Yes. There's a split second in between digested and hungry.
Let me actually, okay, I'm going to come back to this. I have it written down. But I wanted to say, okay, in the Les Mills On Demand Facebook group, people were talking about intermittent fasting, our favorite conversation topic. And a lot of the people said that they work out in a fasting state and that that they get a way better workout because they're not doing that constant balance between, am I too full? Am I hungry? Just wanted to mention that to you.
I would disagree with that, and I would say others would as well.
I know I would be too hungry. I mean, like, they work out in the morning before they eat for the first time, and that's...
I've heard of that, but I think that's... I don't think that's real. That's not scientific. I mean, if you want to get a good workout, your body needs the energy to be able to do it.
Well, I'm not trying to have a conversation about the science. I just wanted to say that that's one, just to open our imaginations to possibilities. That's what a lot of people in the group said, that they exercise in the fasting state so they didn't have to deal with that split second of, am I too full or am I too hungry? Back to the original topic. I don't even know if I could do it because I would be too hungry in the morning, but...
Yeah, I think those people are wrong, but that's just my opinion.
Everybody's different. Every body is different. But, okay, so today we have to work out. We want to work out before lunch. That's the plan. And Kelly is in the bed. Well, in the day bed. In the
girlfriend,
living room.
Girlfriend, I had my full moon hangover.
So she's not like champing at the bit to get it done.
Told you I was tired.
And
homegirl never has shoveled in her life. Well, that one time.
I have shoveled exactly once. And that was enough. I don't shovel. I shovel shit.
True.
I shovel food into the blender. Well, that was you today. This isn't about you.
Because I could have sworn I heard my name.
Well, so in addition to the delicate balance of how much food is in our stomachs, it's also a delicate balance of, like, timing of our desire to work out. And often one of us will have to encourage the other. But that's not really what this is about. I had decided to be patient with whenever you wanted to do it, because I am so tired of trying to control. Like, it's not fun. I'm never rushing you is never fun. It sucks. It's horrible. It's the worst thing you could do is rush Kelly Cree.
It's annoying.
It's a nightmare. Like, it's her literal nightmare.
It's not a good idea.
And I just know from 13 years that nothing I do is going to make her want to work out any faster than she's ready to. And so rather than get stressed out about, and not that I'm stressed, like didn't even have to do with you what I'm about to talk about. But so I decided to, like, get up from my desk and start doing a couple things. So at least I'm walking around and not just in a chair hole, not able to move and sucked into my computer. So I get up and I water the plants and do some other stuff in the kitchen. And I was at the sink filling something up, and I was feeling that feeling of dread and really not wanting to go there today. Like, the feeling of dreading the workout, of not wanting to do that.
Not wanting to dread.
No, I just felt the resistance to working out. Like, God, why do we go through this 5 days a week?
The same shit over and over.
And I could feel, because I was already, like, in a pretty good mood this morning. I felt focused. Like, I felt like I had my shit together. But then as the time comes closer to workout, mm-hmm. I feel the wheels coming off. And I'm like, okay, this is starting, like, I start to get irritable and, like, just wanting to get it over with. So that's where, like, the need to rush comes with, is, like, wanting this feeling to be over of mm-hmm. the dread. Like, so I'd rather just, like, hurry up and rush and get it done. And then for the first time today, as I'm at the sink, I'm like, what is so bad about right now that I need to, like, that I'm, like, thinking, what can I eat? What can I put in my body? How can I escape this feeling? And I, for maybe for the first time, I actually sat there and thought, what is so bad about this that I'm like, that I'm making myself unhappy? And it was that specific thought of thinking, what's so bad about it? The moment before working out, between breakfast and working out, is like, it can be miserable in my head because I'm dreading it.
Uh-huh.
But I said to myself, what is so bad about this? And I like kind of came back into my body and realized it's just like, I can't even pick a single thought that it is, but it's just resistant thoughts of being like, well, as soon as I asked the question, what is so bad about it? The only answer was, well, I'm afraid that my knees are going to hurt. And I'm afraid I'm going to get hungry. Like, just like two really simple thoughts that ended up being like I do have some underlying resistant thoughts that are making me not fully enthusiastic to work out. And so it was like I listened to myself for the first time.
Listening.
I listened to what the answer was instead of just like trying to escape the feeling constantly.
Right.
Like with food or rushing or busyness.
Right.
And so just saying, what is so bad about it? And to hear the answer, well, I'm afraid my knees are going to hurt.
Right.
And that's what actually, like saying that out loud, there I go. I almost want to cry because it's like, it's such a simple thing for my body that's like, you're not doing your form right. You're hurting yourself. Like you need to wake up and pay attention. And that's what this feeling is about. It's that it does actually hurt and you are hurting yourself and you need to wake up and address this or you're going to keep dreading it. Because I've been having this underlying feeling for the past couple weeks of like, my form is off and my knees are hurting and I need to deal with it. But when the time comes, I just want to rush through it and get it done instead of dealing with it.
Do you want help?
No,
I've been trying to help you.
I've been asking for, I mean, I have taken your advice into consideration, but another thing I'm doing is listening to the cueing instead of just trying to zone out.
And listening.
Listening, yeah. And so today I went down on my weight and I think the problem is that I haven't been putting all the weight in my heels and I've been carrying a lot of weight in the ball of my foot, which then makes me like use my knees a little bit. But anyway, it's not about that. It was just about asking the question, what is so bad about it? And like sitting there and listening to the answer instead of trying to escape. And that really made a huge difference because I was able to then be present again and be like, okay, like curious.
Right.
Like, oh, I get to witness my interesting psyche. Like, okay, this is weird and cool. Like, it's like suddenly being tripping or something, which...
It's like asking yourself, well, what do you want when you hear yourself thinking about what you don't want? Mm-hmm. It's kind of jarring. Like, oh, well, I don't know. I just know I don't want blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So just to like... To notice I was uncomfortable and to say, why?
Yeah.
What is so uncomfortable that you That's need to make one. Yourself miserable until this class is over?
And then you're rushing through it. So it's like you want to do this class because you want the effects, but then you're not even doing it properly to where you can get the effects of it because you want to rush through it and get away from it. So it's like, why even do it if you're just going to rush through it and you're not even going to get what you want to get out of it.
Yeah, like this constant need to escape every moment. Like, and it's not just working out. It's just a constant need to escape everything that I perceive as, that my mind perceives as uncomfortable, which is everything. So it's just a constant low-level need to escape all day, every day.
And why do you think it perceives everything as uncomfortable?
Just like coming up with what ifs or what if this goes wrong or... I don't want to do this because of this. Just excuses, just general resistance to everything. Not everything. Not reading a book.
I was just going to say, do you feel that way when you have your books and your tea?
Not eating yogurt.
The highlight of every day.
I don't resist eating ever.
That's not true. So you asked yourself, what is so bad about it? Because I've been thinking about this resistance course.
Uh-huh.
Trying to figure out what it is, and I was just thinking, like, because there's so many different techniques that you could use to try to release resistance, and thinking, like, it should just be, like, most of our other work, where it's, like, different, like, maybe it's just seven different ways to address resistance, and that's, I think that's a really good one. Ask yourself, like, if it's a week-long course or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
What's so bad about it? Like, that's a good one that you could spend the whole day. Well, what's so bad about it?
Yeah, because then I was able to use it for, like, everything else. I mean, for, like, an hour or so, that was what my attention was on, was anytime I was, like, uncomfortable or resisting, is what is so bad about it. And the second I ask that, it just brings me back in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to realize that the resistance is something I can either deal with or it's not real.
Right.
And then I was able to work on my form today, and I really feel more confident about my future working out, that I'm not going to just blow out my knees because I need to rush through the class so bad.
did you ever, well, we can talk about this later, but
I know what your advice is, but it's where I'm holding the weight.
Okay, well, let's just talk about it later.
Because
I don't think you want to listen to what I'm trying to tell you.
I know what your advice was. It was to hold that Taekwondo squat.
Well, let's talk about it later.
But when I put the weight in my heels, only in my heels, it was so much harder, and that's how I know I was doing
okay,
it.
Okay, like I said, I don't think the functional listeners, I mean, I hear you, I'm listening, and I do want to hear this later, but I don't know that specifically the topic of where the weight goes in a squat is relevant to the fun show listeners.
What's so bad about it?
What? I didn't say anything was bad about it. I said it was irrelevant. What's so relevant about it?
It's about me, and they're listening to me. So that's exactly why it's relevant, because this is a show about me.
Oh, I didn't realize it was called The Jessica Mullen Show. I just wondered that was on YouTube.
It's how I'm impregnating my consciousness. So that's my technique offering today.
Cool, I like it. Thanks. I like technique offerings.
It was really eye-opening.
That actually brings me to my topic, if you're...
I'm so ready. I'm about tapped out.
So, as y'all know, I've been reading the same two books for the duration of...
13 episodes.
Yeah. So, Alan Watts' Cloud Hidden, Whereabouts Unknown, and it's a series of essays that he wrote in seclusion in his little mountain cottage. And... this one happens to be about karma, but this particular section doesn't necessarily relate to that. But I was going to read it to Jessica earlier just because I thought it was funny in relationship to our work. He says, "This is why one should not be misled by the many forms of mental and psychic discipline which promise greater and greater control over thought and emotion, and even magical powers. All such methods, unless specifically designed to be self-defeating and so to reduce the ambition for power to absurdity, are simply ego trips of a refined and highbrow order.
Yes.
But often they produce such sensational short-run results that people are easily beguiled by the pseudo-gurus who tout them."
Uh-oh.
And I just thought that was really funny because that's like, that sums up a lot of the way that I see our work, which would be mental and psychic discipline,
mm-hmm.
greater and greater control over thought and emotion.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is coming from Alan Watts, who died a broken alcoholic, and maybe he should have tried disciplining his thoughts and emotions a little better.
I won't disagree, but I did the part that I thought was particularly interesting when he said that they're ego trips of a refined and highbrow order, which we've talked about before, that I think I brought up before, that the work of disciplining the mind is an ego trip.
Yeah.
But like you mentioned, like, it's the work of whittling down the many thoughts to the one, to the none. And like you said, it's like you can't go from all to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And what our work helps you do is whittle that down. So I still believe that our work has value, but I definitely thought that that was something that was worth discussing. And I always love reading things that are counterintuitive to my belief system.
It's like when we first got into silent counting, and there's the goal of counting to 10,000 every day. That mm-hmm. we got that idea from, what's that guy's name? The Second Life guy. The guy who created Second Life. Philip Rosedale. He came up with the idea of counting to 10,000 every day as a way to stay focused. And he got it from a monk who did a mantra 10,000 times a day. And ever since we started down that path of counting to 10,000, we became aware that that's like a competition, like that the ego part is like feeling bad if you don't hit 10,000, or
right.
comparing yourself to the
right.
last time you hit 10,000, even though it's a admirable goal, like it's still a goal
if you're wrapped up in it in that way, like
yeah.
if you care, you know,
right?
Like one thing I would notice would be like the time of day, like, I should have been to 5,000 by now.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
It's a wash.
Yeah, or like, I can't start counting. It's after 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
What good is that going to do? I might as well just eat my feelings.
Yeah, so it's a dangerous technique. I think that's why it's a high risk, high reward technique.
What is he saying there? What does he call it? Short-term results?
Yeah.
Great short-term results.
Yeah. It's so perfect. But often they produce such sensational short-run results that people are easily beguiled by the pseudo-gurus who tell them.
I am totally beguiled by the pseudo-guru of Philip Rosedale, who I have since repeatedly tweeted him asking if he still does that technique, and he refuses to reply.
Wow, what a fake. He's probably never counted to 10,000 a day in his life.
Pseudo-guru ass. But
that's
yeah,
that's a funny. We should make T-shirts that say "Pseudo Guru."
I like that. I love that. Yeah. Well, I know that a lot of our work is an ego trip, but it's like if you don't take the ego trip, how do you even know when you're taking an ego trip?
Right, and it even goes back to something that he was discussing previously in this essay. Which is like that there's a voluntary and an involuntary aspect of karma, which I won't go too far into, but it the same in everything. There's both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
So only through awareness of the ego can you transcend the ego. Only
right.
through knowing, noticing, oh yeah, my ego is worried about how far I'm getting to 10,000 in a day, then you become aware of how to transcend that. Then you're like, okay, well, if I am doing the counting, I want to get the benefits out of it without the ego trip, then I know I have to focus only on how I feel. I
mm-hmm.
have to release the meaning from it. How would you ever learn how to release the meaning if you hadn't applied meaning to it?
Yeah, right, exactly. And also, it's like, to even have any kind of what I see as like agency in my experience, I have to be focused. And a lot of these techniques are, I know that I could just be the observer and watch my life go by and not ever deliberately focus again. But it's fun to focus. It's fun to like build up my attention training abilities. Just like working
right.
out. Like you could just sit there and never work out, but it's fun to work out and be strong.
Right. And to feel the ways in which you can use your body and be stronger and like
same with your mind. Like
right.
to be able to use your mind to do short term results.
Right.
Like that's fucking fun. That's a trip. Yeah,
right.
It is magical that my mind is making these weird results. Like
right.
Magic is fun.
I agree. And I think more what he's saying is that then that's a results driven.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. I would say that listening as a meditation practice is very not results driven, although I am aiming for that feeling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But a lot of my practices are results driven. Would you say that's what makes it an ego trip? If it's results driven?
Well, I guess it just depends on the result. You know, like
right.
that's what the whole Beyond Manifestation Journal is about, is the result of feeling. Or is it, you know, something outside of you?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Because, like, for example, the listening one, you said, like, yeah, I had a result in mind. I wanted to feel better. What other result could there be?
Right.
And if you're not hoping for that result, you know, like, if you can't even focus toward feeling better.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, there's a disconnect there, like, Just feel better. Like, people need a technique to do that, you know?
Right. Well, it's entirely possible to just feel better, to just flip the switch. And that's the other thing about the Beyond Manifestation is we didn't need to write this book. You can just flip the switch and be present. You don't need a process.
Right.
But there are times when you want to be present that you can't, that is hard because you're trapped in your mind. And so why not try this technique? To
yes.
see if it gets you there.
It gets you closer to learning how to flip the switch. Like, I still, like, there are so many people who don't, if you were to tell them just feel better, like, that is not something that they could even wrap their minds around, that they would immediately reject because they don't have the skill set. Like, how some people don't have coping mechanisms. They don't know how to cope with things. It's not their fault.
Plus, if you told me when I'm feeling like shit to just feel better,
right.
I'd probably want to kill you.
Right. Just flip the switch, you know?
That's like the least
helpful
thing you could ever
right.
say.
Right. I agree.
I didn't mean kill you for real. Just meant...
just bite my nipple off.
Just elbow you. Bite your nipple off. That was a demon. That wasn't me.
Same.
That was being possessed by a spirit.
Same.
Well, since we just have a couple tiny minutes left, I wanted to, unless there's anything else you want
no.
to cover, I wanted to talk about my sigh of relief exercise from today. So it's the third of the month, so I'm on the third exercise, and it's called Sigh of Relief. And what situation in your life are you dreading, stressed about, or uncertain about the outcome? Working out. How do you feel when you think about it? Pressure, stress, dread, gross.
Aww.
3, what do you want the outcome to be? I love working out. It's so fun. I'm so good at this. And then you imagine getting what you want. You breathe a sigh of relief. And I pictured, like, actually being in the moment of working out, thinking to myself, I'm so good at working out. It really made me realize I do often have this limiting belief that I'm not good at working out because I didn't do sports as a kid. So uh-huh. I like don't have this natural inclination. And it made me realize like, oh, I have some limiting beliefs in the way. So once I realized that, it was so helpful. And then I'm pretty sure after I filled this out, that's when I came up with the what's so bad about it. So
right
it's like the sigh of relief even brought a technique.
Right. The shit works.
Yeah.
It is wild.
So
that's another reason why I've kept doing it, because I feel like every day the exercise is perfect and it helps. And I'm always sad when there's no more to do.
I know. Yesterday I had some time to kill while I was exporting a video, and I had already done mine, and I just had to start coloring the pages and counting.
Right.
And it was just
right.
It's so nice for the journal to leave us wanting more instead of feeling overwhelming, like there's too much to do in a day. We did it. We nailed it, babe.
We made the we made the perfect book, so if you want to buy it.
Go to schoolofliferefined.com. You could sign up for the Magical Library for $15 and download every single one of our digital resources and get access to the premium fun shows and the Jessica Mullen Oracle Deck.
There's just so much to do on our website.
And now the value is over $450. So even if you just signed up for 1 month and downloaded everything, you'd get $450 worth of content.
And then you can just cancel right after. Like, it's really easy. We tell you exactly how to do it. Just sign up, go download everything, and then cancel, and then share all the downloads with your friends and the world.
But if you can afford it, don't cancel, because we're trying to buy a van in 2 years.
Yes, please. Support our van fund. Subscribe to School of Life Design Van.
Thanks for listening to the fun show, Van.
But I don't care if I have a van.
That's an ego trip. A van is just an ego trip.
But are you on the van or are you off the van?
I am on the
van. I am the van.
There you go. Thanks for listening. ShadyPinesRadio.com.
Listening.